And if you do have your Bible, let's open them up to Mark chapter 4. As we finish chapter 4 today in the book of Mark, we'll be starting in verse 35. And we're looking at storms and the Lord calming the sea. Let's start in verse 35 and read it together, and then we'll look at it more closely. It says, "On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, 'Let us cross over to the other side.' And when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and as the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea and said, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" In this particular passage, we're looking at storms. Now, I've broken this up into four different segments, really. The promise, the storm, the doubt, and the wonder. And what I mean by that is we all go through these four different stages as believers when we come to storms. Now, let me just say to begin with, all of us are going to go through storms in life, every one of us. Whether you're a believer here today or whether you're an unbeliever here today and just visiting or whatever the case might be, you're going to go through storms. And so we need to realize that storms are something that are going to happen in all of our lives. And it depends on where we are in that storm, who we're with in that storm, how we're going to weather that storm. And this is a lesson the disciples needed to learn. But guys, it's something we need to learn as well. Some of you are in the midst of a storm right now. And you need to know, what do I do in the midst of this storm? That's exactly what we're going to see today. And that is, we need to get our eyes on the Lord and off of the storm. Now, again, there's different reasons for storms in life. One reason is simply because we live in a world where there are storms. Another, as we're going to see in just a moment, is because I believe there are also demonic storms where the enemy can bring a storm, if you will, of sorts in our life. And there's also storms we bring on ourselves. It's a lot like this man here who gave his wife the silent treatment because he was mad at her. And then suddenly he realized that he needed her to wake him up the next morning at 5 a.m. for an early morning business flight. And not wanting to be the first one to break the silence and lose, he wrote on a piece of paper, "Please wake me up at 5 a.m. And then he put it where he knew she would find it. The next morning, the man woke up only to discover it was 9 a.m. and he'd missed his flight. And so furious, he was about to go see why his wife hadn't awakened him when he noticed a piece of paper next to his bed that said, 'It's 5 a.m. Wake up.'" You know, I don't think we as men are equipped for these kind of contests with women. I'm just going to say that. But the bottom line is, some storms we cause by ourselves because we simply put ourselves in a situation where now there's a storm. But gang, listen, sometimes we're in storms simply because, you know, the world we live in. And more than that, the enemy attacking, and I'm going to go farther than that. Sometimes, are you ready for this? Sometimes the Lord will send you into a storm. Did you know that? We're going to see today that the Lord actually sends them into a storm. He knew the storm was going to take place. He's the Lord. He was God in human form. This is why he was able to sleep. He knew they'd get to the other side. But the bottom line is, he wanted them to learn that. And some of you this morning, including myself, some of us this morning, need to realize, and we need to take deep into our heart, that when God sends us into something, he didn't do it to kill us. God is going to get us there to the other side. You see, the question is, whose boat are we in? Are we in a boat by ourselves, or are we in a boat with the Lord? Now, you might say, wait a minute, what if I am in a boat by myself? Let me just say this. You've got to be in the boat with Jesus. And how do you get in the boat with Jesus if you want to go through this life and the storms of life? Simply receive him as Lord and Savior. If you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, he opens the doors and says, step on board. You're now on the boat. And I can say this, the boat is going to get to its destination. You may go through some ravaging storms. As a matter of fact, you will. But I can promise you, if you're on the boat with Jesus, the boat is not going down. And this is the main lesson we need to learn from this. The boat is not going to sink if we're on the boat with Jesus. Now, if we are an unbeliever and we're on some different boat, see, the bottom line is, if you follow the analogy, we're all on some boat, every one of us in this room. You're either in a boat with Jesus Christ because you've given him your life, or you're in a boat that you've created for yourself, and there you go. Maybe you're setting your own course, so to speak. You're making your own way. I can guarantee you this, at some point, your boat is going to sink. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, it's going to go down, and there's going to be eternal consequences for it. But here's the good news. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, your boat will never sink, and you will also have eternal consequences, but they will be reward in the kingdom of God. And so the question is going to be this morning for us is, we're all going to face storms, but which boat are we on? Let's get into it. First of all, notice the promise. Verse 1. It says, on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now note that. It's a very simple statement. But again, when Jesus says something, there's nothing simple about it. It may be simple in the sense of understanding, but it has power. It has the backing of God behind it. And what did God say? Let us cross over to the other side. And I can assure you, when God gives us a promise like that, then we're going to be crossing over to the other side. You know, notice God didn't say to them, well, let's all get on a boat and let's go out there and die. And yet, how many of us have thought that? God has told us what we're going to do. God has said, look, here's what I want you to do. Here's where I want you to go. Get on board. Let's take off. And as soon as we start going, guess what happens? The storm comes up. And when the storm comes up, we begin to panic. And we start to think, I'm going to die. You know, this is it. No, wait a minute. God didn't say go out there and go under, you know, the sea. He said, let's go to the other side. I remember coming back from Arizona one time in Phoenix, and we ran into a blizzard. Now, you might be thinking, a blizzard in Arizona? I saw head turns on that one, or heads turn on that one. But you have to go through Flagstaff, which is an elevation of 7,000 feet to get back toward New Mexico, which is where we were heading. And so we left Arizona. It was beautiful. It's like we started, no problems, great journey. We got up there and this blizzard hits. And I mean blizzard conditions. I'm talking, you couldn't see anything but barely the guy's lights in front of you, just barely. And we were close. We didn't want to get too close because we didn't want to tap each other the whole way. But at the same time, we were close enough where we could see, and that's all you could see were those lights through the storm. And I honestly, I'm just going to, you know, bare my heart with you. I began to panic a little bit. All these thoughts started coming in my mind, things like, Mom was right. Here I am. I don't have a change of underwear. I don't have a blanket. I don't have all those things Mom warned me about when I was a kid, you know. And so I'm thinking, we're going to die, you know. And I begin to go, this is really serious. And what if we don't make it? And what if we run out of gas and we could, you know, this we could freeze here and all this. And Tracy was the one who was, pardon the pun, cool in the whole process. She was like, you know what, it's going to be okay, don't worry. But I'm like, oh, I don't know. And I didn't want her to know too much, but I was like really thinking this could be very serious. And we were in that like an hour. And we kept going though. We never got, you know, bogged down. It was level travel, which was good where we were. So finally we got through it. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, that was really something. I'm so glad we made it. And God began to minister to my heart and say, you know what, listen, I'm with you in the storm. You're not alone. And you have to learn to trust in me. Even when things seem like they're going to fall apart, I'm going to be there to take care of you. And I'm going to be there to watch over you. I'm in the boat with you would be the analogy that we would use today. And if I'm in the boat with you, all is going to be okay, no matter how bad the storm is. And some of you right now, you're in a blinding windstorm and you can't even see the headlights in front of the car. And so you've come this morning thinking, I can't believe the pastor's talking about this, but this is what the Lord is saying to you. Get your eyes back on him. If he is in the boat with you, you're going to be okay no matter what your circumstances seem like. I remember another time, and I used to have a fear of flying. I don't really have a fear of flying anymore. I've pretty much gotten over that because it really was just a lack of faith. And I really was thinking, you know what, Lord, you know, what if the plane goes down? And God began to minister to my heart and say, look, I've got a certain day you're coming to the kingdom, and nobody's going to take you until that day. I don't care what happens. You're going to be safe until the day that I've ordained. And whether it's on a plane or whether it's at your house, you're going to be okay. And so I began to feel more comfortable with the Lord. But I remember years back when I was still kind of nervous about flying, I got on this flight and I was thinking, man, I'm a little bit nervous about this, but Lord, I know everything will be okay. And this very famous pastor, national pastor, he's 15,000 people in his congregation, gets on the plane. And I remember thinking, I'm in. This plane's going to get there. This plane's going to land. This is not a problem. And you know what began to happen in my heart? It was almost like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute, Mark. You mean that now that this man got on, you feel safe when I've been with you the whole time? You're going to put your eyes on a man and think somehow you're going to be safe because a man's on the plane? And I began to realize before the Lord, what I was doing was I was putting more faith in a man than I was in my God. And a lot of times that's our problem when we start to panic in bad circumstances. We start thinking, wait a minute, the circumstances are bad and no man can get me out of this. That's right. No ordinary man, but the God man, Jesus Christ, can. And he's the one we have to have our eyes on. He's the one we have to focus on. And the Lord told them, you're going to the other side. I can't tell you how many times God has said, you're going to the other side. I'm like, all right, Lord, let's go. And I'm kind of like Peter. I'm bold to go if God says go. But then once the storm comes, I begin to sometimes panic. And so that began to happen, you know, they began to panic because they went out in the storm and the Lord said, you know what, I've got to teach you guys to have faith, to realize that in the midst of the storm, I'm going to be there with you. And not only that, you're not going anywhere unless I say so. Relax. It's going to be okay. So he gives them the promise there in verse 35. And now notice we come to the storm. Look at verse 36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats also were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Now, again, there's a couple of storms mentioned that the disciples were in when they were on the Sea of Galilee, and both of them are these horrible windstorms at night. Now, you need to understand a little bit about this to realize how common this was. This is no ordinary storm. As a matter of fact, the language used here is rather drastic. The language wording used here is the same wording that's used for hurricane-force winds. And they say today that when these winds come down and hit the Sea of Galilee, that the waves can get sometimes as high as 25 feet high. Now, again, get a picture of the Sea of Galilee in your mind. It's not really a sea in the sense of salt. It's a large lake. It's about 13 miles long. It's about 7 miles wide. Huge. You can see all of it when you get there to the Sea of Galilee from an upper view, but it's huge. The boats, of course, look very small when they're down there on there. But once you get out in the midst of it, you wouldn't have motors to get you to the other side quickly. You'd be stuck until you got to the other side. Now, geographically, you need to understand the land a little well also. Mount Hermon is up to the north and is higher. And there's actually snow up on Mount Hermon for much of the year. And so what happens is the cold winds begin to blow down off of Mount Hermon and swoop down through that valley toward an elevation that's about 600 and some feet below sea level at the Sea of Galilee. And it's a tropical environment. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's a wonderful place. But when the cold wind comes down and hits the hot wind, there's an atmospheric situation that takes place that it actually begins to suck the wind down and pulls it real fast down on the water at high speed. And when these turbulent times happen, it slams into the Sea of Galilee, and it's like taking a big tub and just shaking it everywhere. And so the waves get huge, and it turns into this really dangerous situation. It's so bad here and unrelenting that water is already filling in the boat. It's already slamming and filling the boat up. And so this is a very serious situation. Now, you know, these were seasoned fishermen. It's one thing when you're in a boat with someone who doesn't know anything about boats, then they get a little bit panicked. That doesn't bother me. When I'm on airplanes, if you get on the airplane, you see the people on there a little bit panicked because of whatever's happening. You look at the flight attendant. If they seem okay, then relax. But when the flight attendant starts looking nervous, then that's the time to panic. No, I'm just kidding. Don't panic. But that's the time where obviously you realize this is serious. Guys, these were seasoned fishermen. They've been in storms before. And all of a sudden, they're in this storm now, and what's happening is they're beginning to panic. They believe they're going to die, and the reason being is as hurricane-force winds are hitting them, water is knocking the boat everywhere. It's coming in the boat, and I even think about these other little boats that were with them, what these guys were going through. Can you imagine? And yet, because they were in the boat with Jesus, they were okay. And that's the key that we have to understand on this. Now, I also find it interesting that the Lord at this point had not gotten up yet. And I would be thinking, you know, before the water started coming in the boat, Lord, it's time to act. Now, I don't know why the Lord does this, but guys, note this. When God allows us or sends us into a storm, a lot of times he allows the boat to even take on water before he intervenes. I hate that. I hate it. I wish he would just say, all right, the storm's getting bad. Peace, be still. Now, that's what I'm talking about. I've got Jesus in the boat. No storms. Here, we're going to cruise. It's going to be nice. See what he does? Sometimes you think he's asleep, don't you? Lord, wake up. What's happening? Don't you see what's going on in my life? And the wind and the waves are beating, and now it's so bad. First of all, you're okay for a while. You're kind of holding on, and you're singing the Gilligan's Island thing. So far, you're okay, right? And then all of a sudden, it gets worse, and the water starts coming in the boat. You know, and you're thinking of the rest of the Gilligan's Island. You know, you're going to go down, right? And the bottom line is you're panicking, whatever the case might be. You're like, Lord, where are you? I don't know why the Lord always, I guess I always don't know why the Lord waits, but I know the ultimate reason he waits. He wants us to learn to trust him. And sometimes we will not learn trust and faith in the Lord until we get at the very end of our rope and we have to trust him. I would like to say, Lord, just do it back here and I'll trust you and all this. But God knows, no, the lesson isn't going to be learned unless I go to the very end. And God will allow that sometimes. But here's what we've got to remember. Again, if God is allowing it, there's going to be a rescue. He's in the boat with us. We are not alone. He is not going to leave us. And although he was physically asleep here, the Lord, the Bible says, never sleeps or slumbers in the believer's life. And he's always watching us and always taking care of us. And so now we see the storm comes up. We see these guys starting to get worried, starting to panic. And notice we come now to the doubt. Look at verse 38. It says, but he was in the stern, that is the rear of the boat, asleep on a pillow. They would have these cushions back there that the sailors could sit on. And so he was back there asleep on this pillow, and they awoke him and they said to him, teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? What a statement to make to the Lord. You ever been guilty of that? You're in the midst of the storm and everything seems to be falling apart, and you say, don't you care? you know, guys, please take this with a grain of salt. Take this in a gentle way, because I find myself where I've also panicked and thought, Lord, where are you? But I can't think of anything worse we could say to the Lord or accuse him of than saying, don't you care? I mean, the Lord could have easily said to them, wait a minute, don't I care? Did I not come down from heaven and take on human form to reach you? Well, yes, Lord, that's a good point. And am I not going to the cross to die for you and for your sins so that you don't have to be eternally separated from God? Yes, Lord, that's another good point. Then how can you ask me if I care? Hey, some of you this morning, you're in the midst of the storm and the waves are beating you around and water's even filling the boat. You're thinking, all right, I know that God said he'd provide all my needs and all these things and all that, but you know what? This boat's going down. It's filling with water, and I don't see anything happening, and it looks like the Lord doesn't care. Well, you're right there with the disciples at that moment. It's the fleshly weakness of panic. And so they begin to do that, and again, the Lord is like, no, it has nothing to do with me not caring. It's something that I want to teach you. It's something that I want you to learn about. Now, what's amazing to me is, note this, they're in this horrible storm, and these guys are freaking out. The Lord is taking a nap. Can you imagine that? Now, why is he able to do that? I wish I was to this level of faith, but really, it's a level of faith the Lord had. And that is, he knew that the Father had told him to go to the other side, which means what? You're going to get to the other side. It may be a bumpy ride. It may not be the most pleasant of events, but you will get there. Therefore, I can rest. I've heard people say, you know what? I can sleep because the Lord never does. And yes, as a man, he did at this point, but not in his sovereignty, he doesn't sleep. And so the bottom line is that he realized, you know what, we're going to get there. It's okay. And I think probably also there was a great level of exhaustion. He obviously had to be extremely exhausted after a long day of ministry and probably several days of ministry to be able to sleep during something like this. But again, it just makes me realize, you know, what kind of faith the Lord had. I mean, it doesn't take but a small trial oftentimes to get me freaked out. And yet here's the Lord in the midst of this terrible storm. You know, it's bad enough when you're in a storm, right? Now take that storm and put it out on the water. Now make it be dark. So this is no ordinary storm. This is like there's ever a moment that was justified in panicking. This is it. But there's not justified, not in the Lord. But again, notice their total lack of faith in what Jesus had told them they're going to do. They're basically saying, we're going to die. Lord, you don't care what's going on. And Jesus said, no, we're going to get to the other side. Don't worry about it. Now, we're going to get there. And I want to encourage some of you not to jump overboard when the storms come. You know, it's easy to say, well, I tried Christianity, or God's not being faithful to me, or God's this guy. Well, I'm just not. You know what we get when we're in our flesh and we want to pitch a little fit? Wait a minute. Listen, let's take this analogy to the very literal thing that was happening here in this story. What if they, in the boat, had said this? Well, there's a terrible storm and the Lord doesn't care, so we're just going to get out. What would have happened? If you want to guarantee that you'll drown, jump out of the boat. I'm walking away from God. I don't want this. You'll drown for sure. But if you stay in the boat, you can be sure the boat's not going down. The boat's going to be fine because the Lord is the one in the boat. And that is something that we've got to learn. We can't just quit when things get hard. We have to say, God, you're the one doing this. And so I'm going to trust in you. And so we have to learn that the Lord is the one that's going to be watching over us. So don't you care? Verse 39, notice this. Then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Now the language reveals that it happened rather rapidly. Try to get the scene. You're out there in the boat, waves maybe as big as 25 feet, hurricane force. It's coming in the boat. They're screaming, hold on, get this, go get Jesus. Somebody wake him up. You know, the winds up. Lord, don't you care? We're dying. You know, that's how I feel like oftentimes when it's me alone with the kids. Don't you care, Lord? I'm dying. Don't you see? You really appreciate your wife during those times, right? And then what happens? All of a sudden, when the boat's going crazy, he yells that, and the Lord just stands up and just looks around and goes, peace, be still. And all of a sudden, it says everything just, whew. Can you imagine the contrast of the noise and the violence and the shaking and the fear and all the things that were happening? And suddenly, it calms down to where it's just this incredible peace, and they had this great fear that came upon them. And it's no wonder they did, because they realized, whoa, who is this we're dealing with? You see, they didn't realize yet that Jesus was God. And they didn't realize yet the true power that he had. Note this, they trusted him. They had decided to give their life over to him. They had decided to be a follower, but they didn't realize the power that he had and just who he really was. And that is why they panicked in the storm. Guys, there's a key for us in this. Some of you have given your life to the Lord. You've decided to follow him. And all these storms, when they come along, what happens? We begin to panic in the midst of them because we don't understand that with a word, the Lord can calm the storm. And I can promise you, he's not going to let the storm go any longer than it has to go to teach us that we can trust him. See, it's growing in faith.
He's saying, Lord, I know that you're going to do this. It's going to be okay. I know this seems crazy. I know it looks like we're going to go down. I know it looks like we're going to sink. But I'm going to take logic right now in the way I see it. I'm going to take the natural realm and the way I absorb things. I'm going to set it aside, all my emotions, all my thinking, and I'm going to say, you are God. And you are the one that's going to keep this boat afloat. And I'm going to trust you no matter what. And God is going to be faithful. God is going to be faithful. It doesn't mean that we won't even experience some loss in life. I'm not saying that you'll never have a storm and never experience loss, but you're going to make it. You know, I was thinking about it, and I do this a lot of times when I get into kind of my, you know, panic modes, you know, when things are, there's a bad storm or things are happening. And that is this, I think, all right, what is the worst thing that could happen? The worst thing that could happen is everything is lost. You know, my family, ministry, you know, your home, your car, your friends, everything, just you and that's it. You're stripped down to nothing. But you know what, guys? We have something the world doesn't have. Even if everything is lost, we still have Jesus. Absolutely. And what that means is the worst thing that can happen down here can't take away what we have in Christ. And all we do from that point is it only gets better because we're going to be with him forever. And so we have to learn to trust and say, all right, Lord, you know, not even so much I'm in the storm and Lord, don't let anything happen. You know, I'm going to hold on to everything. Come on, God. No, it's I'm in the storm and the boat's not going to sink. That's the lesson he's giving us. It doesn't mean that there's not going to be some things that'll happen. You may get a little wet. You may get a bruise or two from being thrown back and forth, but the boat is not going to sink. And by the time you're done, you will still be standing with the Lord and you're going to be with him forever. You know, it's interesting. If you're in the world, if you don't know the Lord this morning, in your boat when the storms come, because they will come as an unbeliever, good luck. Because you're on your own. You're going to be in the boat and going, it's going crazy. It's everything. That's like, that's right. What are you going to do? There's nobody can help you unless you cry out to the Lord. And if you cry out to the Lord, that's when you get your help. And that's what they needed to learn. They needed to learn in the midst of the storm that they know they're in the boat with him. They know it's not going to sink. But notice the next thing they did, they cried out to the Lord. God, and yes, it wasn't the best crying out, Lord, you know, don't you care? But they still cried out. And the Lord says to the, you know, to the storm, the wind and the sea, peace, be still. And everything just suddenly calms down. It's interesting. He rebuked the wind and the sea here. And why is that interesting? Because again, you don't rebuke wind. I mean, well, how do you rebuke wind? You know, wind, I tell you, stop. I mean, God can do that, I guess. You typically rebuke beings. And why am I saying this? Because there's another reason that storms happen in our life, and that is demonic attack. And I believe this was a demonic attack. It's very interesting that in the book of Job, we see that Satan has limited power over nature when God allows him. Remember, he asked for permission to attack Job's life, and a great storm came and destroyed Job's house and killed his family. And then there was a great lightning that came from heaven and burned up his flocks and burned up his servants. And the Bible shows us that Satan was the one doing that. It wasn't God. You know, at one point, Job began to almost blame God for that later on, but it wasn't God that did that. It was the enemy that did that. God allowed him to because he was growing Job and doing something in Job's life and something for us as well and growing in faith. But the bottom line is we see that in certain instances, the enemy has limited power even over nature. And that means that sometimes even natural storms can be enemy started, so to speak. The language here he uses when he says, peace, be still, literally it says, be muzzled. Isn't that interesting? What do you muzzle? You muzzle something you know can bite you. And the Lord stands up and says, be muzzled. It's the same word he used when he rebuked the demons. And so I believe this is a demonic attack. And I think that the Lord was allowing it to teach the disciples that they would be in demonic attacks that were spiritual and they would be in demonic attacks that were actually physical. And they needed to learn that. But why the demonic attack right now? Because we're going to see in next week's episode that he was crossing over to the other side to go to Gadara where there were two demon-possessed men who needed to be set free. And here's the bottom line. Whenever we get in the boat with God and we head out to go do ministry and to set the captive free by bringing them the gospel, you can be sure there's going to be opposition. You can be sure there's going to be a storm. It's going to happen. And so we have to recognize, again, the natural storms, and we also have to recognize the supernatural storms. But I love what it says in Isaiah 59:19. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, very appropriate for this passage, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. So we can know that when the enemy does attack, and even when the boat is filling with water, it's not going down. God will keep the boat afloat. Listen, if Jesus can walk on water without a boat, you don't have to worry about his boat going under. He's God, and so he can do it. And so the Lord, I love this. They go to him. They say, Lord, you know, we need your help here. And notice verse 39, it says, he arose and he rebuked the wind. You know what? Some of you right now have a heart turmoil going on. There's a storm going on in your heart. Some of you in here that don't know the Lord, right now you're hearing the gospel and the Holy Spirit is saying, look, you need to give your life to Jesus because you're in the wrong boat. And you need to get in the boat that has Christ. And there's a turmoil. There's a storm going on. There's the voice of the enemy saying, ignore this guy. You know, don't make a commitment. If he gives an opportunity to pray, just ignore it. You don't need Jesus. You've done fine up to this point. It's a crutch. You don't need a crutch. You're doing fine. Don't worry about it. And then God's Spirit is saying, look, I died for you. And you, if you don't give your life to me, your boat's going to sink eternally. And you're going to be eternally separated and not get to go to the kingdom of God. I'm calling you to myself right now. Listen. Even as he arose in that boat and calmed the storm, he also arose from the grave. And because he arose from the grave, he can calm the storm in your heart this morning by you simply giving your life to him. It's admitting your sin. God, I know I'm a sinner. I confess my sin to you and I receive you as Lord. And I'll give you a chance to do that in just a moment. But notice he rebukes the wind. And look at verse 40. Now we see the wonder here. He says to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now, I would say if there was ever a time to lack faith, that was the moment. To me, this is a big thing. I think of something little, like I've got a flat tire and I'm going to be late to my meeting. Oh, Lord, help my faith. This isn't a boat at night in the middle of a huge body of water that's throwing us all over the place and we might die. And the Lord says, why are you worried? You know what that shows me? It shows me how far I have to go in my faith with the Lord. Because if I had understood what the Lord understood, I wouldn't have been worried. See, here's why Jesus was able to sleep. He knew the Father had said they were getting there. We would be able to rest as well if we just really trusted in this power. And also, if we kept our eyes on him, they got their eyes off of him. And again, they got their eyes on the storm. And I wonder how many times the Lord would say to us, why are you so fearful? You know, 1 John 4:18 says this, perfect love casts out fear. And I think the reason we're so fearful is we don't know that the Lord loves us as much as he does. We're going to get there. Don't worry. Now notice their response. As we already touched on this, verse 41, here's the wonder that they have. And they feared exceedingly. I think they're more afraid now than they were during the storm. There's a different kind of fear. It's like, who in the world are we in the presence of? They did not yet know exactly who he really was as far as being God in human form. And they said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Wow. And see, some of you this morning may be saying the same thing. Who can this be that even right now my heart is being stirred and I had no intention of praying a prayer or giving my life to the Lord this morning when I came in here. But right now, when I've heard the word of God and I hear the fact that Jesus died on the cross for my sins and that there's an eternal judgment coming, but if I'll just receive him and get in the right boat, I'm not going to sink eternally, but I'll be with the Lord forever. I want to do that. Some of you are going through that right now. And for the first time, you're seeing who the Lord is and you're saying the same thing. Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? I mean, this is no ordinary man. Jesus is not just another religious leader. He's not just another spiritual person in the line of many others. The Bible says he was God in human form. And Jesus said this, no one goes to the Father except by me. And in Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven or earth by which a man can be saved except the name Christ Jesus. So here's my point. Listen, if you have heart turmoil this morning, be it a believer or unbeliever, there's two things you can do. First of all, as a believer, here's what we need to do. We need to get our eyes back on Jesus. So right now, if you're in the midst of a storm and you're panicking, I want you to do this, and we're going to pray for God to help us. Get your eyes back on the Lord. He is in the boat with us, and although it may seem like he's sleeping, he's very aware of what's going on. The Lord will act when the time is right, and we're not going to sink. The second thing is, if you're an unbeliever here this morning and you're not on the boat, you know, maybe you're in one of the little boats on the side. But you're not in the boat with Jesus. You're in a boat of the world. You're charting your own course. You're going your own direction. Then you know what? This morning, you need to get in the right boat. Because at some point, you're going to be sunk. And the Bible says that if you're not in the boat with Christ, if you don't receive him as Lord and Savior, then you're not going to enter the kingdom of God. Let God calm the storm in your heart this morning. Depending on which place you're at, either one, let him calm the storm and let's ask him to do it. Let's pray. Lord, we just pray this morning that you would calm hearts and you would calm storms. I pray right now, Lord, for those in here who know you and are in the midst of a storm. And Lord, to them, it just seems like, where are you, Lord? Are you sleeping? Do you even care? And the storm is raging on all sides. God, you want them, you want us to learn the same lesson that you taught your disciples 2,000 years ago. And that is this, with you on the boat, everything will be fine. It's not going down. And no matter whether the water's coming in the boat or not, when the time is right, Lord, you will calm the storm and you will say, peace, be still. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's some here this morning that are in that turmoil and it's time to calm the storm, I ask that right now you would speak to the storm and say, peace, be still. And Lord, even if you don't calm the storm this morning, I pray you would calm their heart right now and say to their heart, peace, be still. But Lord, I also pray for those this morning that were, Lord, in one of the little boats around, someone who's in the wrong boat this morning. Lord, they've been the captain of their own ship, so to speak.
No one tells them what to do. They make their own direction. But Father, this morning, you're convicting their heart right now. And you're letting them know that they need to make a change in course. That they need to leave the boat of the world that they're in, that is taking on water and will eventually sink eternally. And Lord, they need to get into the boat with you where they can receive eternal life, knowing they will make it to the other side. And Lord, not just in this life, but eternally, we will be with you in the kingdom of God. And Father, I pray if there's any here right now that are in that place, Lord, that are in the wrong boat, they would begin to confess their sin to you right now. And if that's you this morning, I want you to pray this prayer. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I recognize that I'm in the wrong boat. And I believe that you died for me on the cross. And I believe that you rose again the third day. And Lord, I now receive you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my life and be my Lord and be my Savior and be my God. I give my life to you. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for those hearts you've touched this morning in that way. And we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen.